VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's show, I tell about a new music single from the Beatles and artificial intelligence. Later, Gina Bennett presents Ask a Teacher. And we close the show with an American story fit for Halloween, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. But first, here is Gregory Stockel.
The North Atlantic right whale is one of the world's most endangered large whale species. Its population loss appears to be slowing. But scientists warn that the large sea animals still face threats from getting caught in fishing equipment, being struck by ships, and warming oceans. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, says that by the early 1890s, commercial whalers almost destroyed the species. They got their name from being the right whales to hunt because they floated when they were killed. Commercial whale fishing is no longer a threat, but its population has never fully returned. They have been protected under United States law for many years now. The North Atlantic right whale is about 16 meters long and weighs more than 63,000 kilograms. The whales can probably live for 70 years. However, female North Atlantic right whales are now only living to around 45 years old. Such reduced lifespans are caused by human activities, not old age. The NOAA estimates that fewer than 350 right whales are remaining off the U.S. East Coast. From 2010 to 2020, their population fell by about 25%. This week, the North Atlantic Right Whale Consortium, or NARWC, said the population decrease appears to have leveled off. A strong birthing year in 2021, when 18 baby whales or calves were born, kept whale population numbers up, the NARWC said. However, the organization warned that the high number of deaths faced by whales from getting caught in fishing equipment or struck by ships remains a major problem for the whales. The news is less bad than it has been. My heart is a little less heavy, but certainly not light or hopeful, said Philip Hamilton. He is a member of NARWC and a senior scientist at the Anderson Cabot Center for Ocean Life at the New England Aquarium. It shouldn't be dependent on the whales to give birth to enough calves to reverse what we're doing to them. Scientists say another reason why whale numbers are decreasing is warming oceans and climate change. The whales eat very small ocean organisms called copepods. They travel from calving grounds off the coasts of Florida and Georgia to feeding grounds off New England and Canada every year. As waters have warmed, the whales must travel outside of protected areas of the ocean in search of food. that has left them open to strikes with large ships and getting trapped in commercial fishing equipment. Those are the biggest causes of early death. Many fishermen have opposed proposed fishing restrictions that they fear would hurt their business rather than help whales. Dave Cousins, a past president of the Maine Lobstermen's Association, has called the proposed rules nonsensical. But environmental groups want new federal rules to save the species, including one to make ships slow down for whales. I'm Gregory Stockel.
A new song from the Beatles, with help from artificial intelligence, comes out next week. The song, called Now and Then, will be available on November 2nd. It is part of a single along with Love Me Do. In 1962, Love Me Do came out as the first Beatles single. Now and Then comes from the same group of unreleased recordings written by Beatle John Lennon, who died in 1980. His former bandmates used some of the media to build the songs Free as a Bird and Real Love, released in the mid-1990s. Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and George Harrison worked on Now and Then at the same time, but technological limitations blocked their progress. George Harrison died in 2001. With the help of artificial intelligence, AI, movie director Peter Jackson was able to solve those tech problems. He used AI to separate Lennon's voice from the sound of the piano used in the late 1970s recording. The much clearer vocals permitted the surviving members, McCartney and Starr, to complete the song last year. The new single contains guitar work that Harrison had recorded almost 30 years ago. Drummer Starr provided new sound, along with McCartney's bass, piano, and guitar. McCartney and Starr also sang with Lennon. McCartney also added a string instrument piece written with the help of Giles Martin, son of the late Beatles producer George Martin. And they mixed in background singing from the first Beatles recordings of Here, There, and Everywhere, Eleanor Rigby, and Because. There it was, John's voice, crystal clear, McCartney said in the announcement of the new song. It's quite emotional, and we all play on it, he added. Harrison's widow, Olivia, said he would have wholeheartedly joined Paul and Ringo in completing the song now, if he were still alive. Next Wednesday, the day before the song's release, a 12-minute film that tells the story of the new recording will be made public. Later in the month, expanded versions of the Beatles albums 1962 to 1966 and 1967 to 1970 will be released. The later years collection will get the addition of the song Now and Then. The surviving Beatles have skillfully released new projects. They made remixes of old albums. They also worked with director Jackson's 2021 documentary series, The Beatles Get Back. This year is the big finale of new Beatles music. This is the last track ever that you'll get the four Beatles on the track, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, Starr said in a recent interview with the Associated Press.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question about the use of this, that, these, those. Hello. Please, how should I use the pronouns this, that, these, those beyond the notion of near or far? Thanks a lot, Odellen. Thank you for writing, Odellen. This is an excellent question. We know that the words this, that, these, those have many meanings and uses in English. One meaning of this, these is to note someone or something is near in physical distance. That, those can note someone or something that is far in physical distance. Here are two examples.
You can say, "This book is mine," while holding it in your hand. And you can say, "That book is yours," while pointing at one on the table across the room.
Near and far can also demonstrate time. This can mean now or current, and that can mean before or earlier. For example,
the solar eclipse will not happen again this year. The last supermoon came in September. At that time, the moon's orbit brought it closer than usual to Earth.
In the first sentence, this notes the current year. In the second sentence, that refers to a time in the past. We can also use this, that to show preference or a desirable choice. This can demonstrate a more desirable choice, and that can demonstrate a less desirable choice. Here are two examples.
This is my favorite restaurant. That doesn't sound very fun.
In the first sentence, this shows the restaurant is the best choice, and that in the second sentence demonstrates the idea is not a desirable one. This, these also has an additional use. We can use this, these for focus or attention to establish new information. Using this, these can direct the reader's or listener's attention to important information. Here is an example.
And this is one major concern about the use of artificial intelligence. Ownership.
This directs the reader to pay attention to the new information that is coming in the sentence. The important information in the sentence is a major concern. Ownership is the major concern. Please let us know if this explanation has helped you, Odellen. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Gina Bennett.
Now, Gina Bennett joins me in the studio. Good to see you, Gina.
Thanks, Katie. Ask a teacher might be my favorite part of working at Learning English so far.
In this week's program, you answered a question about the different meanings of this, that, these, those. Our audience might have been surprised to see there were at least four meanings for the words.
Yes, this, that, these, those are very useful words in English. In fact, the singular form this is the 17th most often used word, and that is the 15th most often used word in the whole English language.
Wow, I guess we use them so often we don't even notice. Why are they used so much?
Well, we learned this week they have many meanings. That's one reason they're used a lot. That also has several grammatical functions. In addition to the well-known demonstrative determiner, that book, and pronoun, that is mine, that can also be a degree adverb, as in that good, a relativizer, as in, this is a podcast that I really enjoy, and a subordinator that can establish three kinds of clauses.
Well, I learned something. Thank you, Gina.
You're welcome. I hope we do it again soon.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Today's story is called The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It is about something strange that happened long ago in a valley called Sleepy Hollow. It was written by Washington Irving. The story is told by Doug Johnson.
The valley known as Sleepy Hollow hides from the world in the high hills of New York State. There are many stories told about the quiet valley. But the story that people believe most is about a man who rides a horse at night. The story says the man died many years ago during the American Revolutionary War. His head was shot off. Every night he rises from his burial place, jumps on his horse, and rides through the valley, looking for his lost head. Near Sleepy Hollow is a village called Tarrytown. It was settled many years ago by people from Holland. The village had a small school and one teacher named Ichabod Crane. Ichabod Crane was a good name for him because he looked like a tall bird. A crane. He was tall and thin like a crane. His shoulders were small, joining two long arms. His head was small, too, and flat on top. He had big ears, large, glassy green eyes, and a long nose. Ichabod did not make much money as a teacher. And although he was tall and thin, he ate like a fat man. To help him pay for his food, he earned extra money teaching young people to sing. Every Sunday after church, Ichabod taught singing. Among the ladies Ichabod taught was one Katrina Van Tassel. She was the only daughter of a rich Dutch farmer. She was a girl in bloom, much like a round, red, rosy apple. Ichabod had a soft and foolish heart for the ladies, and soon found himself interested in Miss Van Tassel. Ichabod's eyes opened wide when he saw the riches of Katrina's farm. Miles of apple trees and wheat fields, and hundreds of fat farm animals. He saw himself as master of the Van Tassel farm, with Katrina as his wife. But there were many problems blocking the road to Katrina's heart. One was a strong young man named Brom Van Brunt. Brom was a hero to all the young ladies. His shoulders were big, his back was wide, and his hair was short and curly. He always won the horse races in Tarrytown and earned many prizes. Brom was never seen without a horse. Sometimes, late at night, Brom and his friends would rush through town shouting loudly from the backs of their horses. Tired old ladies would awaken from their sleep and say, "Why, there goes Brom Van Brunt leading his wild group again." Such was the enemy Ichabod had to defeat for Katrina's heart. Stronger and wiser men would not have tried, but Ichabod had a plan. He could not fight his enemy in the open, so he did it silently and secretly. He made many visits to Katrina's farm and made her think he was helping her to sing better. Time passed, and the town people thought Ichabod was winning. Brom's horse was never seen at Katrina's house on Sunday nights anymore. One day in autumn, Ichabod was asked to come to a big party at the Van Tassel home. He dressed in his best clothes. A farmer loaned him an old horse for the long trip to the party. The house was filled with farmers and their wives, red-faced daughters, and clean, washed sons. The tables were filled with different things to eat. Wine filled many glasses. Brom Van Brunt rode to the party on his fastest horse, called Daredevil. All the young ladies smiled happily when they saw him. Soon, music filled the rooms, and everyone began to dance and sing. Ichabod was happy dancing with Katrina as Brom looked at them with a jealous heart. The night passed. The music stopped, and the young people sat together to tell stories about the Revolutionary War. Soon, stories about Sleepy Hollow were told. The most feared story was about the rider looking for his lost head. One farmer told how he raced the headless man on a horse. The farmer ran his horse faster and faster. The horsemen followed over bush and stone until they came to the end of the valley. There, the headless horseman suddenly stopped. Gone were his clothes and his skin. All that was left was a man with white bones shining in the moonlight. The stories ended, and time came to leave the party. Ichabod seemed very happy until he said good night to Katrina. Was she ending their romance? He left feeling very sad. Had Katrina been seeing Ichabod just to make Brom Van Brunt jealous so he would marry her? Well, Ichabod began his long ride home through the hills that surround Tarrytown. He had never felt so lonely in his life. He began to whistle as he came close to the tree where a man had been killed years ago by rebels. He thought he saw something white move in the tree. But no, it was only the moonlight shining and moving on the tree. Then he heard a noise. His body shook. he kicked his horse faster. The old horse tried to run, but almost fell in the river instead. Ichabod hit the horse again. The horse ran fast and then suddenly stopped, almost throwing Ichabod forward to the ground. There, in the dark woods, on the side of the river where the bushes grow low, stood an ugly thing, big and black. It did not move, but seemed ready to jump like a giant monster. Ichabod's hair stood straight up. It was too late to run, and in his fear, he did the only thing he could. His shaking voice broke the silent valley. "Who are you?" The thing did not answer. Ichabod asked again. Still no answer. Ichabod's old horse began to move forward. The black thing began to move along the side of Ichabod's horse in the dark. Ichabod made his horse run faster. The black thing moved with them. Side by side they moved, slowly at first, and not a word was said. Ichabod felt his heart sink. Up a hill they moved above the shadow of the trees. For a moment, the moon shone down, and to Ichabod's horror, he saw it was a horse. And it had a rider. But the rider's head was not on his body. It was in front of the rider, resting on the horse. Ichabod kicked and hit his old horse with all his power. Away they rushed through bushes and trees across the valley of Sleepy Hollow. Up ahead was the old church bridge where the headless horseman stops and returns to his burial place. "If only I can get there first, I am safe," thought Ichabod. He kicked his horse again. The horse jumped onto the bridge and raced over it like the sound of thunder. Ichabod looked back to see if the headless man had stopped. He saw the man pick up his head and throw it with a powerful force. The head hit Ichabod in the face and knocked him off his horse to the dirt below. They found Ichabod's horse the next day peacefully eating grass. They could not find Ichabod. They walked all across the valley. They saw the footmarks of Ichabod's horse as it had raced through the valley. They even found Ichabod's old hat in the dust near the bridge. But they did not find Ichabod. The only other thing they found was lying near Ichabod's hat. It was the broken pieces of a round orange pumpkin. The town people talked about Ichabod for many weeks. They remembered the frightening stories of the valley. And finally, they came to believe that the headless horseman had carried Ichabod away. Much later, an old farmer returned from a visit to New York City. He said he was sure he saw Ichabod there. He thought Ichabod silently left Sleepy Hollow because he had lost Katrina. As for Katrina, her mother and father gave her a big wedding when she married Brom Van Brunt. Many people who went to the wedding saw that Brom smiled whenever Ichabod's name was spoken, and they wondered why he laughed out loud when anyone talked about the broken orange pumpkin found lying near Ichabod's old dusty hat.
That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedell.